This morning, once again, we are looking at the Ten Commandments, playing by the rules, the perfect ten, as some might call them. God gave these many, many years ago to Moses there, and Moses recorded these in the book of Exodus, and God gave them in order to make families where they would be much more aware of what God is trying to say to us. Many years ago at Falls Creek, there was a song that was one of the major theme songs that we sang. God has something to say to you. God has something to say. Listen, listen, pay close attention. God has something to say. Will Rogers once said, "We spend money that we don't have to buy things that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like." Now, I would ask the question this morning is, why do we do that? You see, the problem comes in one word that is seldom used, but it's much abused in our world today, and it's the word covetousness. The famous slogan of American Express is, "Don't leave home without it." Now, society and culture has taught us the continued idea of this uncontrolled desire to want to acquire more. Lifestyles today, it takes two people in the family working in order to keep up with the inflation, with the prices of increasing gas and groceries. And as I look around at the world this morning with all of its needs and all of the things that are out there that people are struggling to get, I realize that one of Satan's tactics and one of the things that he uses against all of us is to try to destroy our hope and our joy, and he will do it through this 10th commandment. God foresaw all of this at play in the world going out of control. And so he gave us this 10th commandment that we're going to look at this morning. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, in the New American Standard Translation, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Now, when you see that female servant there and that male servant in ancient days, biblical days, those are ancient symbols of place and status. Someone has called this 10th commandment the unenforceable commandment. Think about it for a minute. You could be breaking this 10th commandment right now, and no one would ever know it. You could make coveting a felony, and no one would ever be arrested because how could you prove it? You see, this is the reason, this is the most unusual of all of the 10 commandments. The other 9 commandments deal with our actions, how we treat others. But this commandment, this 10th one, deals with our attitude. The other 9 deal with deeds. This 10th one deals with desires. You can see the sins of the other commandment on the outside of us, but this sin, this 10th commandment, is seen on the inside. What is it that is so unusual about this 10th commandment that makes it different from all of the others? It's the fact that it goes straight to the heart. God gave these commandments to let you and me know that he requires not only our outward obedience, but inward obedience as well. The Hebrew word for covet means desire or to pant after. Now, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with desire of wanting to have certain things, of wanting to have ambition. But you see, oftentimes our ambitions overtake us and we begin to look around us and we're not satisfied and we begin to want more and more and more and more. You see, there's nothing wrong this morning with having ambition. In fact, I love to see people who have ambition. I love to watch people as they grow older to continue to want to have ambition, to have ambition and to be ambitious and industrious in life. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have nice things. There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide for your family. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be your very best. But the problem is whenever we begin to covet, we begin to become dissatisfied, we begin to look at others with a jealous eye, and before long, it's we want what they have. When you really think about it, it's a disease that not only affects our finances, but it affects families. This morning, I want to give you three cures for this commandment on covetousness. Number one, be glad for the blessings of others. Let me ask you a question this morning. As you look around you, are you grateful for the blessings that other people have? You see, covetousness is one of the most deceptive sins that we commit. In all the years that I have been in ministry, never once have I had anyone to come to my office and sit down and say, "Pastor, I've got a problem. I'm a very covetous person." I've never had anybody in all the years to ever come and say that. Francis Xavier, the famous Roman Catholic priest and missionary, he heard many confessions in his lifetime. And he said as he became an older man, "I've listened to thousands of confessions and I have yet to hear one person confess to the sin of covetousness. I call it the stealth sin. It's a sin that flies under the radar. It doesn't leave any fingerprints. It doesn't trigger any alarms. It doesn't set off any warnings. It's a sin that can be eating you up and you don't even realize it happening." Now, when you view what others have, when you and I look around and we view what others have, you can respond in one of two ways. Number one, you can either be jealous of what other people have, or secondly, you can be grateful, you can be glad, you can be thankful what others have. Normally, when we covet what somebody else wants, it's because we think for some reason that they're richer, and that's where the problem lies. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, in the New American Standard, Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he said, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." I cannot help but think this morning when I see some of the nations of the world in Europe that have been trying to confiscate those multi-million dollar yachts of the super rich in Russia. It's absolutely incredible. One was a $600 million yacht. Now, who among us this morning, and just take your spiritual face off for a minute and put on your physical face, how many of us would not like to take a ride on that yacht? Maybe sleep in it overnight? Maybe have somebody cook for us? I mean, your pastor's certainly human. I'll sign the top of the list. And, whenever we begin to look around and we see what others have, but we also see what the Apostle Paul here said to Timothy about how that riches can create this temptation and this snare, and it can be a harmful desire because it's plunged many people into ruin and destruction. You see, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with desiring those things, but the word desire there literally means to covet. You see, it's wrong to covet, to be rich. And so it's wrong to covet what other people that have been blessed have. And that's why Paul goes on to say, when he was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:10 in the New Living Translation, "For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil." You see, nothing wrong with money. Money in and of itself, it's neutral, but it's the love of money which produces the byproduct of covetousness, which creates and causes all kinds of problems. It can be dangerous to be rich. Why? Because money can begin to own you. It can not only afflict the rich, but it can afflict the poor as well. Because if you can't get what you want, then you will want what other people have. You see, instead of wanting what others have, why not just thank the Lord? Just give God thanks. Give God praise for what others have. I read a story about a man that owned some property. He was very wealthy, very rich, and all of his neighbors envied him because of that particular parcel of property that was so incredibly valuable, and they would covet it and they would look at it, and their dislike for this man grew intensely, and oftentimes they wouldn't wave at him, they wouldn't speak to him. And so he decided he wanted to teach a lesson. He put a sign up on that piece of property that he owned, and he gave this message. It said, "I will give this property to anyone in my neighborhood that is totally and really satisfied." Well, one of the wealthy neighbors who lived up the street had a beautiful place and all the money in the world that they could ever spend, but they coveted that man's piece of property through the years. And so this neighbor thought, well, if he's going to give this property away, it might as well be to me. I'm rich, I've got all that I need, and I should qualify because I'm totally satisfied. So he went up the street to the man, knocked on the door. The man opened the door. Mr. Smith said, as he came to the door, "You've never darkened my door before. Is this a social visit, Mr. Smith?" And the man said, "No, I've come to claim your property." And the man said, "Wait a minute. Are you really satisfied? I mean, absolutely, incredibly satisfied?" And the man said, "Well, I've got plenty of money and I've got all I need. And yes, I am totally satisfied. I've got everything that I could ever want." So the man at the door said, "Are you telling me the truth? Are you truthfully satisfied?" The man said, "Yes, totally satisfied." And the man that owned the property said, "Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Smith. If you're truly and totally satisfied with what you've got, then why do you want what I have?" How true is that this morning? You see, the problem with covetousness is this. If you covet, it means that you love those things more than you love people. It means if you love those things, it means that you distrust God, to know that God is ruler over all, that God owns it all. Now, according to the Bible, God owns it all. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, which is a picture that God owns everything. I like what one guy said. He can sure cash in those cattle whenever he wants to. Folks, let me tell you, God owns it all. One of the things that parents ought to be teaching their children is that somebody else's blessing is not their loss. Rather than wanting what someone else has and violating this Ten Commandment, we ought to be thankful and grateful to God for the blessings he's given to other people. Secondly, this morning, be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for the blessings you have. When Jesus gave this stern warning about covetousness in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, then he, speaking of Jesus, said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." You see, greed is a synonym for coveting. Listen carefully to what Jesus said here that is dangerous. He said, in effect, that the quality of life, the quality has nothing to do with the quantity of life. And when you covet what others have, we fail to understand two things. Number one, the material can never fully and finally satisfy the physical. Solomon, who was the wisest man, one of the richest people in all of the world of his day, certainly probably the richest, he said in the book of Ecclesiastes, verse chapter 5 and verse 10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. Solomon said it's foolishness. John D. Rockefeller in his day was literally the head and shoulders above everyone else. He was the single richest man in the entire universe. Nobody had more money, more wealth, more assets than he did at the height of his wealth and his power. He had no idea how much he was even worth. And when somebody asked him one day this question, Mr. Rockefeller, how much is enough? Rockefeller famously looked at him and said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You see, it's impossible for a covetous person ever to be truly and totally satisfied. I wonder this morning, young people, you're familiar with these names. I wonder if you were to ask Jeff Bezos. I wonder if you were to ask Bill Gates. I wonder if you were to ask Warren Buffett. I wonder if you were to ask Elon Musk. I wonder if you were to ask Mark Zuckerberg. With all of their great wealth and riches and assets this morning, if you were to ask them how much is enough, I wonder how they would respond this morning. Let me tell you, there's another flaw in the thinking of a covetous person, and it's this: the material can never fully and finally satisfy the spiritual. Let me tell you, I don't care how much you get, money, material possessions. Let me tell you, the material will never satisfy the spiritual within you. This is something that ministers need to remember just as well. I read where a pastor once visited a mental institution. He saw a guy banging his head against the wall. He said to one of the orderlies, "What on earth's the matter with that guy?" And this trustee looked at him and said, "Oh, he's a Baptist preacher. He wanted to go to another church, but he didn't get to go." He walked down the hall and he saw another guy. He was in a straitjacket. He's beating his head against the wall. And he looked at him. He said to the trustee, he said, "What's the matter with that guy?" He said, "He's the pastor that got the church that the other guy wanted." Folks, let me tell you, covetousness is simply the evidence of an ungrateful heart. You see, instead of coveting the possessions of other people, we ought to be grateful and thankful they have them, and we ought to be grateful for what we have. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says, "And it's a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God." You and I need to learn to be grateful for what we have and enjoy it and not want what others have. Don't just be grateful for what you have. Learn to be satisfied with what you have. Listen to what the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:11 said. He said, "I have learned, not that I speak from want, for I've learned." Notice he said, "I've learned it." It's a lesson. I've watched it in play. I've seen it in everyday life. "For I've learned to be content and whatever circumstances I am." Do you understand why Paul was content in every circumstance? He had God in his life. He had Jesus, and he knew that that was truly, truly enough. A story I once read about a man in Ottawa, Canada. He's 24 years old. He robbed a bank for $6,000. He got caught, and he was put on trial. He received a 6-year prison sentence for his crime. But what was fascinating about that story and this crime is that robberies occur every day around the world. But this guy that robbed that day for $6,000, he used a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic pistol. It was made by the Ross Rifle Company in Quebec, Canada in the year 1918. That gun was an antique, and at that time, it was worth over $100,000. You see, over 16 times more than what he originally stole. If this man would have paid attention to what he already had, he would have never had to commit a crime to get what he wanted. Let me tell you this morning, be glad for the blessings of others. Secondly, be grateful for the things God has given to you, what you have. Thirdly, this morning, lastly, be gracious with others who don't have what you have. Be gracious with others who don't have what you have. Listen to Proverbs 11:25 in the New Living Translation. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. This verse says that the greatest antidote for the disease of covetousness and the way to be satisfied is to give. I believe the reason why most people don't give to churches and to charities and to others is because of covetousness. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. You see, lots of people don't go to church because they're afraid the church will ask for money. Show me a person who complains when a church asks for money, and I'll show you a covetous person. You see, the same person who will pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars for a ticket to the Super Bowl, and I read the other day, I think, where tickets sold for the Super Bowl for $68,000 a ticket, I believe. It was in the $60,000 range. But you see, people don't mind to pay that. But the same person will give thousands to political candidates hoping to curry some type of quid pro quo or some type of influence, but they'll complain if the church preaches on tithing, preaches on giving, ask for money. You see, God's blessed every one of us, but here's where a lot of us miss the boat on blessings. God doesn't bless us for our own benefit. He blesses for the benefit of others. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 in the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their pride and trust should be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Let me close this morning with this illustration. I read a story about a congressman. He took his son to McDonald's. His son wanted some French fries, so he bought him, young people, a supersized order, and he sat down to eat. The congressman sat down and he began to smile as he looked at his son, though, and he looked at those French fries. Congressman reached over and he took some. His little son looked at him and said, "Hey, Dad, those are my French fries." The congressman said, "That went through me like a dart." And I thought, what a bad attitude my son has. In that very moment, that congressman said, God spoke to my very heart, and he taught me one of the greatest lessons that I've ever learned. He said, three things I thought that he pierced my heart with. First of all, about my little son, he had forgotten where those French fries came from because I'm his father and I'm the one that bought them. Secondly, he doesn't understand I have the power to take them away if I want to. Thirdly, he doesn't realize I've got the money to go buy 40 orders of French fries and bury him in them. He said, I could buy all of them that I want to eat. But he said, in that very moment, God spoke to my heart and said, that's exactly the attitude you have toward me sometimes. You need to remember where your blessings come from. I'm the one that gave you everything you have. I can take them away from you anytime that I want to because I own everything. Let me tell you, when you and I understand that it's all His. It's all for His kingdom's work and His glory. And that we live lives so selfishly. We live lives so selfishly. Yesterday, I was out visiting a hospital in Lawton. And I was out visiting, and a little kid walked up to me, a little Boy Scout. He said, "Would you like to buy one of these tickets? It'll take money off of when you go to a restaurant." I looked at him and I said, "Well, I live in a different place." But I said, "I'll tell you what, let me just give you the $10 for that ticket. And the next person that comes by, why don't you just give them a ticket?" You see, so oftentimes we just think about me, myself, and I. I read where a monk said these words 1,000 years ago when I was a young man. "I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found that I couldn't change my nation, I began to focus on my town where I lived. I couldn't change the town as an older man, so I decided I'd just try to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made a greater impact on my family. My family and I would have made a greater impact on our town, and their impact could have changed the nation, and I could have indeed been a part of changing my world." I pray this morning that you and I will take seriously these 10 commandments. They're not suggestions. They're commandments that God gave, that God expects us to keep. Next Sunday morning, I'll preach on a man who broke all 10 of the commandments, and yet he was a man after God's own heart. Would you stand as we pray together this morning?